following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Those of you in Memphis are very familiar with Central Barbecue. You've heard me talk about it now for quite some time here on this program, and also as a key sponsor at Radio Memphis. Know about the fantastic barbecue that they have, the slow smoked Memphis style goodness. And those of you that travel into Memphis will often find yourselves at one of the three locations here in town. And then I often hear from people that, you know, when they come through and they talk to us and they say, yeah, the food was great. I wish I could get it where I live. And guess what? You can. Anywhere in the United States, Central will ship their barbecue to you. It's real simple. Just go to cbqmemphis.com, order it, and they'll ship it right to your door. You can have a taste of Memphis right there in your own dining room, in your own kitchen. It's fantastic stuff, and you'll be the envy of all of your friends and neighbors when you invite them over and they get to watch you just devour it all. Get your barbecue fix with Central Barbecue here in Memphis and anywhere in the United States. They'll ship it to you. Go to their website, CBQ Memphis, or look for their banner at radio-memphis.com. All right, let's get on with the show.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. We got a good show for you coming up this time out. We're going to talk a little bit about the concept of greed. It seems to be getting worse and worse. We've talked about it before here. Also, before I get ahead of myself, we've got music on the program from our friend Mr. Eric Summer. We'll tell you about him here in just a little while. He's got some new stuff on the way. But dig this. The idea that people are greedy is it just kind of goes without saying. People are just they're greedy people. They're everywhere. And you look at it from the standpoint of like major corporations, which are very good at that sort of thing. The place that I used to work for, Clear Channel, they were the kings of it, by God. They were just masters of being greedy. And we see it more and more and more with companies and people that they lose their jobs over it. And you know, there was a story, I forget the name of the company, but there was a story not long ago about a company that had fired a bunch of people, a bunch of their staff, put them all out of work, and they... as a result, they wound up giving the boss a raise, you know, and ridiculous. I mean, he's getting like $3 million a year for doing this. And it's just asinine that this sort of thing happens. And it makes me question. And a lot of us, you know, we've when I have conversations with people about it, and we're all in agreement that this whole thing about, you know, the state of greed that exists in this country is remarkable, and nobody's willing to do anything about it. And you can't really stop it, because part of the problem is that the workforce, the rest of us stiffs that have had corporate jobs or continue to work in that corporate environment, can't do anything about it because your life has been held hostage by these people. That's the sad thing. I mean, think about it. I've heard the line. We've all heard the same line. Well, you should be glad you have a job here. You have something, you know. Where are you going to go? You know, that whole deal. And it's, you know, they got you by the balls. And what can you do? And there's really not much you can do. And part of the problem also rests with the people that the workforce that's coming, you know, into play now, the kids coming out of school. There's this sense of entitlement that goes with it. And, you know, there are people that I know, other small business owners that have the same problem about the old good help being hard to find adage. It's happened. It happens all the time. There's that, well, I don't want to start at the bottom. I got a degree. Therefore, I should be the CEO. I should be the one making all the money. I should be the greedy people that you are. It sets a bad example because there is no work ethic anymore. Nobody really wants to work. You know, people say, well, there's just... you know, there's no jobs. No, there's jobs. There's just jobs you don't want to do, and I get that. And there's a lot of jobs out there that I wouldn't want to do for that very same reason. I'm either overqualified or underqualified for a lot of things that are out there. And, you know, how are you going to live, you know, making minimum wage? You can't. That's just a fact of the matter. And I know that draws political lines, and people get a little upset when you talk about, you know, well, the state of California has raised minimum wage to $15 an hour, and people get a little worked up about hearing about these sorts of things, because it's like, well, oh, you're working at a fast food joint, you should expect $15 an hour. Ha, you're funny. Yeah, you I think you should. You know, if you're working a menial job, it should pay something. And I, like I said, I know it draws strange political lines, and people get upset when they talk about this kind of thing, but these aren't the people that are having to work those jobs. You know, I don't necessarily have the answer. I'm not pretending that I do, but I do think that if you pay somebody what they're worth, that's usually a pretty good sign of some type of loyalty to the whole scenario. And that does, you know, it's like, well, you know, now the employer can't afford to keep, you know, his staff because he's having to pay more, and therefore he has to charge a little bit more for his services and all this other stuff. And well, guess what? That's economy. That's the way it is. It costs more and more to live every single year. The price of I would say the price of gasoline, but that's sort of weird and fluid. But you know, like the cost of rent, of a mortgage, the cost to feed your family, it doesn't get any cheaper. Grocery stores are charging more for food. The idea that you want to keep your lights on in your home, that goes up. It never goes down. It does always go up. And yet people holler about, well, I shouldn't have to pay more. You know, I shouldn't have to pay my staff more. Why not? That's part of the problem. And well, if you don't like it, go get a better job. It's frustrating to me to see this come into play, because the greed is astounding. The level of it that exists in this world right now is beyond reproach. I don't understand it. And I know that there's probably some of you that are kind of seething about me talking about this sort of thing, and that's fine. You're just as entitled to your opinion as I am to mine. And you don't have to agree with me on this sort of thing, because there may be some of you that are listening to this that have that really fine corporate gig, and you're sitting in your corner office with the nice view of the pond at your office complex, and you know, you're drawing in that fat paycheck while the guys that are actually doing the work for you are being paid nothing. I saw that. I worked in that environment. I watched middle and upper management just pulling in the cash. But they'll quickly tell you, well, it's not the budget to give you a 10% pay increase, even though the cost of living keeps going up 10%. We're sorry for that. You know, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. And the problem is, if you do go somewhere else, you're dealing with the same scenario. That's the unfortunate end of it. And then on to add to that, the idea that there are people who try and get these jobs who have this sense of entitlement and they can't work. And I feel for the people, the greedy people in some aspect, because they can't get anybody to do the job and do it correctly. When you got a place that has such a high turnover, it happens. It's just part of the problem, and it happens constantly, and it never ends. It's the snake eating itself. And it does ultimately come to an end, because, you know, greed only goes so far. It doesn't have much of a future. It really doesn't. But we're watching it, because more and more people are talking about it in like shows like this, and on the radio and on television and newspapers and books and magazines. It's everywhere about greed. And it happens because people get the idea that they can be just as greedy. So they're taught this lesson when they have those jobs that's the soul sucking job that they may have or possess and that they hate so much. But yet, when they get a chance to be that person, whether it's management, whether they start their own business, they have been taught that it's okay to be greedy. And guess what? It's not. It's not okay. It really isn't. You have to give back. Small business in this country, well, it's always been, and it should be, the backbone of the United States economy. That has been somewhat shattered to a certain extent because of companies like Walmart or companies like Target or the Kroger grocery store chain and all of these things that are out there. They get so big And there's that notion that somebody can be that a company can become too big to fail. And when you become too big to fail, then there's problems. But actually, I think that's a misnomer. I do think that companies get so big that they're the only inevitable conclusion is for them to fail. And we've seen it. We're watching it now. You don't hear that much about Walmart. I mentioned them earlier, but you know, look what's happening. They're closing some stores in various locations around the country because they're getting too big. And there's a lot of cities, a lot of communities that just don't want them around. And they pay their employees shit. They don't take care of their people. It becomes a bad scenario all the way around, and people get a bad taste in their mouth. But yet, the same people that say, well, I don't like Walmart. I hate Walmart. Y'all motherfuckers are in there, too. You're in there shopping because that's the only place you're going to be able to go to get whatever it is that you want. On that cheap price, that disposable world that we have chosen for ourselves creates this problem. And it doesn't end. It never fucking ends. And that's the problem. That is the absolute end all to be all. We've created this mess ourselves, and then all we do is we point our fingers at it and we say how bad this is, yet nobody is willing to do anything about it. That's the problem. That's the pisser. That is the real issue. What do you do? How do you stop it? Well, the answer is don't put up with it. Find a way to fight back. You know, here's another sore spot for some people. When I mention the word union, a lot of major companies don't want unions involved. They don't want their employees unionized because, well, it's going to cost them more to maintain a workforce. This is why all of our jobs are being sent overseas to other countries because, you know, they can work cheaper. Yeah, go ahead and take part in the basic human slavery that occurs in China. That's exactly what that is. I'll call it right out. If the Chinese government has a problem with it, then, you know, tell me I'm wrong. But the issue is still the same no matter where it is that you see it. And you know, if you unionize, then all of a sudden the worker becomes protected. The worker now has a voice. And the people with the money, the greedy people, the people that own those companies or that manage those companies, they're going to flat out say that it's wrong, that only they should make the money, that they should be the ones that should pull in all that fat cash. It was my idea to build this company the way that it is, and I just got a bunch of schlubs to work for minimum wage so I can sit here and cash in all these checks because I don't really do anything but crack a whip from my corner office with my feet on my desk. Yeah, that's about all they do. You know, do it themselves. God help them if some, you know, stuffed shirt is going to sit there with all of his little corporate, you know, the whole corporate meme that is that life, and they just sit there and demand these things from these people and expect nothing in return. I don't know, man. You know, we used to have a gag that we would play, a game that we would play when I was working for the evil empire. Oh boy, they hate when you say that. About how many times, especially when we had a GM once that was really good at corporate speak. That's all he would do. And everything that came out of his mouth had this sort of a corporate vibe to it, you know. He would use these phrases, moving forward. Oh God, I hated that. And these guys would just sit on these things. We need to have a synergy meeting so we know that all the departments are being synergized together. What kind of bullshit is that? Or here's one. We're going to have a meeting on Monday to discuss some parameters of which by way we are conducting our business. And then Tuesday we'll have a meeting to discuss the Monday meeting. And then Wednesday we'll have a third meeting which will, you know, recap everything and put a plan of action into place. And then on Thursday, we'll have yet another meeting that will, you know, will be the penalty phase of not doing these things in this meeting. And then everything will have to be done by Friday. I always said this once to one of the corporate cats. They were so bent on having these meetings, and by God, they were horrible, and it got just so pointless. And they would sit there and they would compare themselves to like conquering the nations, you know, that like there was some type of an empire, which why they got the name Evil Empire. But you know, I said, you know, the Romans, they didn't conquer the world based on them having meetings all the time. They conquered the world by going out and killing people. That's how they did it. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and kill people, but you got to go out and do your job. If you're a company, your job is to provide whatever product or service that it is that you're doing for money. And if all of you're looking at, if the only thing that you're looking at is your bottom line and it's about the cash, it's about the money, then you're doing it wrong. I say this because it's not about chasing that green dollar bill all the way to the grave. That's what people do. And when they chase it, they continue to chase it time and again. And it goes on with no end. They're not interested in making the world a better place. They're not interested in making a fantastic and a life and environment for themselves. They're willing to put themselves under this incredible amount of stress so they can chase the dollar. Case in point, there is a company, a real estate company here in town that has really grown of late. And what they do is they'll acquire property with a business in it, mind you, a small business. And they'll, to get the thing vacated, to get the property vacated, they raise the rent to ridiculous levels. And they know that these small business guys can't pay that rent. So they actually go out of business. I've seen it happen several times here in this town. And then they clean up the property and they bring in a new business. And then they do this. They charge a ridiculous amount of rent. And then this is the kicker. The new mode of operation for commercial real estate is to charge a rent plus a percentage of your business. We're going to allow you to conduct business on our property. And you're going to give us 30% of your business. Or whatever the number is. I just pulled that number out of my ass. It could be more, it could be less. I don't know. I just, 30% seems reasonable, but it's not. They want to be in your business. Now, they're not working for you, but you're paying them 30% of your business. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some out there that are like, yeah, well, you'd be more than happy to open up your little mom and pop operation on my property. Here's my rent. The rent is going to be, you know, $10,000 a month, and I'm going to take 60 to 65% of your business. Wait a minute, what are you working for me? Well, I provide you the property. Well, fuck you. How about that? But these people go to the banks, they get the business loans so they can start this operation, and then they get in there and they find that they're in over their head immediately because they start off in the hole and they have no way out because they've signed the proverbial deal with the devil on all of this, and it is a problem. And it continues on because they're preying on the gullibility of people with ideas and dreams that they want to see come to fruition. But no, hey, you got a great idea. I like your business model. You know what? I'm going to let you do it here, and I'm going to take a percentage of your business. That's not being a landlord. That's being a slave owner. That's what that is. Because think about it. Can you imagine you working for yourself? All right, now you're actually working for somebody else because you're paying rent on the property. Because God help you, you can't buy the damn property because they're going to charge a shitload of money for you to get into it. And here you are, every month you have to write that check for the rent. Plus you have to figure out that, say it's 50 cents on the dollar. 50% of your profit has to go to dude because, you know, he's allowing you to do business on his property. 50%. What are you doing for that 50%? I'm providing you the place. But you got to pay for your own utilities. You got to pay for all the tax. Blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up. How greedy do you have to be? It's a rhetorical question. There is no answer to that. Because the answer is always more. I always want more. I could be a multi-billionaire, but I still want more, right? It's asinine. And that is part of the problem of why this occurs in this country, because we allow it. We're allowing these people that have a little bit of money and some property, perhaps, to control ourselves, to control us. And what do we do? It's not like you could vote them out. They're not politicians. The only other option you have is to not do business with them. But here in this town, there's only like two or three major commercial real estate holders here. And they hold all the great property, and they're buying it up left and right. It's fascinating to me to watch it, because they'll sit there and it's like a deal with the devil, because they want you to succeed. You're damn right they want you to succeed. They'll even help you get started. They lure you in big time. And then it's, we'll give it a few months, and then I'm going to take about 65% of your property, or take about 65% of your profits. And it's probably your gross profits before you even pay anybody else off. So by the time you've paid your staff, by the time you've paid your taxes, by the time you've built your stock or whatever it is that you're trying to do, and after all of this shit that has happened, you're now back in that same hole again, because you're being held hostage. You're having to work with a gun held to your head because there's this fat cat that's sitting in his office with his feet on his table in his corner office someplace, and he's sitting there waiting for you to go out and work for him, because, that's how that shit works. It's upsetting. It really is. The more I think about it, the angrier I get sometimes, because it's just not enough. And then there's other businesses, and so look at the restaurant business, for example. You might have a guy that runs his own restaurant and he's doing really well with it, but he wants to increase his profit margin a little bit because he's obviously not making enough. He wants to be really, really rich. So what he does is he cuts down on, he charges the same amount of money, or he may actually raise the prices on the menu, and all of a sudden you're getting less food for your money. Or you're getting shitty food because they've cut their quality down because it was cheaper to get, the meat off of a truck than it is out of a company. Or however the hell it's done. I'm not in the restaurant business. I don't really know all that much about it. But I do understand that. If you're selling fried chicken, you buy it for what was the going rate? About, a buck a pound. I don't know what it's going for. And then you turn around and you sell it for, $10 a pound. Because, we put our labor into it and we made that fried chicken because it's our recipe. Or however that works. That's the basis of business. I do get it. But it has to have its limits, is what I'm getting at. A company shouldn't have to, strive that hard to, if you're making more money than you really should for your business, then that's an issue. That's a problem. These things, that has to go. That has to stop. It really does. And I know there's probably some of you, or hopefully many of you, that agree with this, but have no idea how to prevent that from happening. Because we're in this circle, we're stuck in this mode where we don't have any other choices, we don't have any other options, because we have to feed our families too. And yet we have to go and we have to work our asses off for nothing, and then give so much of it back. And it's just that's not a free enterprise. That's not a good economy. That's people being outright fucking greedy. And if you feel that I am wrong in this and you want to defend that, come on the show. I'd love to hear your justification for that action. It's business, man. It's how we make our money. Whatever happened to just charging rent? Why you got to take a piece of the business too? Or here's another good one. I know it's your land. You can do whatever you want to with it. But if some guy comes in and goes, look, I like this property. I'd like to rent your space, and I'll pay your price on the rent. They go, what kind of business are you going to put in there? And as long as it's legal, it shouldn't fucking matter. Well, I'm going to put in an automotive repair shop on this property. Well, I don't know that I want that. Well, it's none of your fucking business what you want. You put the property up for rent, didn't you? You're charging me $2,000 a month for that property, and I'm willing to pay for it. You can't tell me what I can and can't do on there as long as I'm following the letter of the law. It's not like I'm running whores out of the property, for God's sake, although, speaking of slavery, it's no different. Do I have an answer for you? Absolutely not. Did I make you think a little bit? I certainly hope so. Goodness sakes, it's really frustrating. All right, moving on. It's time to get into some music. I want to tell you about my good friend, Mr. Eric Summer. He's been on the show before. He's been a guest on this program a couple of times, I believe. He's been at Radio Memphis several times. He travels around the country. He is basically a troubadour of sorts. He's a great songwriter, a great singer, and a fantastic guitarist. And he was just up in Brooklyn not long ago, Brooklyn, New York, and recorded an album at Studio 17 with the lovely Terry Landry. And that record is going to be going through a worldwide debut, and we're going to do it at Radio Memphis. We're going to be the first radio station in the United States of America to debut this record, and we're really excited about it. And then coming in the summer, late May, early June, maybe, I don't know, maybe later June, depending on times and schedules and stuff, Eric is going to be at our studios at Radio Memphis to record another record, which we're looking for. He's got some ideas on that, and we're looking forward to having him in there as well. He's a great guy. He's a great friend of mine as well, and he is providing some music for you right here. This is Cover My Soul, right here from Radioland. If you're looking for that unique gift for somebody, perhaps a birthday, perhaps for yourself, we recommend Wizards. Been in business a long time here in this city, and they're wonderful folks over there at 1999 Madison Avenue. Open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. They're always going. They always got something going on in there. Adult novelties, great t-shirts. They have the Memphis as Fuck shirts in there, which are great. And they've got all sorts of fun gag stuff and novelty stuff. It's an alternative smoke shop. It's a fantastic little place. It's its own little weird little wonderland, and I recommend you go in there and say hey to the kids. Wizards, 1999 Madison Avenue, and, oh, hell yeah, you can buy online no matter where you are. They'll ship it to you. Wizards Memphis. Look for them or look for their banner ad at our website at radio-memphis.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Yeah, buddy. So there it is. That is that for this time around. My thanks to Mr. Eric Summer for the great song there, and more fun that is coming. That's a definite. So there is that. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.